our friend Sean Parrish is in the studio right now. Sean, of course, familiar to most WTIP listeners because he does Points North commentary here on WTIP. You may also know him as the editor of Northern Wilds Media, which produces Highway 61, Northern Wilds. He's been an outdoor writer for years with Outdoor News, still does that. And in between all of that, finds time to wander into the woods once in a while with a...
On occasion.
...rifle or out to a lake with a rod and a reel.
On occasion.
Less than he used to, maybe. Yeah. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah,
appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
Want to talk a little bit about a trip that you and some folks, some friends of yours made shortly. But Buck and I were talking earlier, and I want to launch right into some hunting stuff. We've got the... wolf hunt coming up and this fall.
Yep.
I don't remember the dates. It kind of coincides, but not exactly with deer.
It coincides with the deer season. The first season does. And then there's a second season later that I believe coincides with probably the pine marten trapping season and then runs through the length of December. I'm going off the top of my head, so don't take those dates to the bank. But
yeah, we don't like to let our guests know what we're going to talk about ahead of time. So that you prepare. Now, is it both hunting and trapping, or is it just hunting?
It's both hunting and trapping, but the first season during the deer season is strictly a hunting season. Yeah. The trapping and hunting then will be the second season. The second season will actually occur when furs are prime, and to editorialize a little bit, intelligent wolf management would be all trapping, not hunting during the deer season.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Well, I believe the DNR proposed that.
I believe they did too. Yeah.
And what I said to Buck earlier, and I can't pretend to say I know a lot about wolves, not having grown up here and around them most of my life. But my impression of the wolf is they're pretty smart critters, and this idea of hunting wolves, I don't think we're going to get very many of them. Do you?
Well, it's not working in the western states.
That's what Buck said, yeah.
And they're not getting anywhere near what they would like to kill, or those who want to kill wolves would like to kill, I guess. I've been joking with some friends that, first wolf gets shot in Minnesota the opening day of deer season, and 3,000 other wolves are saying, oh, that's not happening twice, and that's going to be the last wolf anybody sees.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen.
Much less gets a shot at.
Yeah. I've encountered them on occasion deer hunting, often at very close range, close as you and I are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, just within a few feet. So they do occasionally screw up. And that's,
but not
that's
usually
all
twice.
Not usually twice. The thing that could be fatal about now when they don't get shot at is when they screw up, they don't like to admit they screwed up. So they just kind of act very nonchalant and then just slowly fade away. They'll never... really recognize your presence, even though you're right next to them and whistling at them. They'll just act like you're not there.
Kind of like my dog.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing, yeah. So, but again, that's going to change very rapidly.
Yeah.
And I guess the one concern that I've heard is that, deer hunting in Minnesota, we allow what's called party hunting, which means if the three of us are deer hunting together, any one of us can shoot a deer that fills the hunting tag of someone else in the party.
Right.
Wolf hunting is not supposed to work that way, but the way the season is set up with the lottery, it's going to be one person in a hunting party is going to have the wolf tag.
Mm.
And I don't have a lot of faith that that's going to be the person who shoots the wolf, or that there will be a lot of energy devoted to making sure
that that's the person.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, shifting gears just for a sec, you and some people that work for you had kind of an interesting trip recently.
We had a very interesting trip.
Behest or guests of, I guess, the Thunder Bay Tourism.
Yes,
Board of Tourism.
Yeah.
What happened there? I mean, what was the trip and how come it happened?
Well, my business partner, Amber Pratt, and myself with Northern Wilds, we distribute our paper in Canada, and we take very seriously the idea of, and Amber coined the term, of blurring the border and really getting people to enjoy the North Shore, not the Minnesota North Shore, not the Ontario North Shore. We think of it all as one place.
Mm-hmm.
And So Thunder Bay Tourism, we worked with them and said, we want to get to know what you have to offer better so that we can do a better job of promoting that. And they thought it was a great idea. So they helped develop an itinerary, and we were able to take four people along on this trip, Amber and myself, and then two folks who write for us. Jim Boyd, who writes for Highway 61, also mm-hmm. writes for other markets as well. Mm-hmm. And then Kate Watson, who does some writing for us and is also the communications manager at North Hills Folk School. So anyways, the four of us spent 4 days last week, and we traveled from the border at Pigeon River all the way over to Marathon, actually all the way to the visitor center at Puckasaw National Park. We had a very busy itinerary. We just met a lot of people, and we saw a lot of what's going on, both on a community development and then economically what's occurring in Ontario. And it's very different than what's going on this side of the border. It was a real eye-opener
for us. In what way?
Thunder Bay is a boom town right now. We've got a very strong economy. There's a lot of people moving in. You can't buy a house in Thunder Bay right now. The market is just overwhelmed with buyers. And there's lots of people moving in, and they're coming in. They're basically professionals, executives, people coming in to take very good paying jobs in the medical industry, and then also in mining. There's a lot of mining activity, mining development that's going on north of the border, and it was really amazing how much is happening in Thunder Bay. There's a massive waterfront renovation project going on there called Prince Arthur's Landing, and it's centered around their marina, and they're developing quite the marina, for one thing, but they're also incorporating gardens, open space, a cultural center. Hmm. They're planning to have a folk school there. They have a splash pond for the kids. They have a private developer that will be developing condominiums that will be associated with the marina. And all this is right within one block of downtown Port Arthur, their primary downtown area.
Yeah.
So it's really going to create a new nucleus, new city center for Thunder Bay.
Huh. So I'm assuming then the idea that behind this visit, Sean, was that then you can start to give more coverage
right
to this and be able to
right
to write about that.
Yeah. Right. And in addition to viewing all these community development projects and talking to, you know, community leaders, we also visited three provincial parks. We went sea kayaking out of Rossport. We went fishing on the Nipigon River. We did some hiking. We went sailing on Thunder Bay.
So pretty boring time for 4 days.
It was hard work.
So. Well, I'm sure to a degree that's true, but it sounds like kind of fun hard work.
No one said work can't be fun.
No, that's right. That's right. Well, one of the interesting things that I saw, and I read this on the your Points North thing, was that one of the first things you did was go to a trout pond.
Yeah, we did.
Kind of interesting to go to Canada, go across the border, and here, let's go to a
pay-to-fish pond.
Pay-to-fish pond, right.
And what was really fun about that is Jim Boyd, I'm sure a lot of listeners know, was teasing all the way up there. Why do we have to go to the trout pond? Why are we stopping at the trout pond? And Jim is perpetually curious. And so we get to the trout pond. Well, he meets a couple that runs it. He finds out they're pretty nice people, and they've got a really cool operation there. And what the ponds are there for is basically to provide fishing opportunities for people who aren't going to get fishing opportunities. Really young children, people with physical disabilities, and the elderly. So, and that's entirely the intent of the place. Mm. So it was really interesting. By the time we left, we were behind schedule because Jim had so many questions. We ended up pretty much every day behind schedule because Jim had so many questions. But we learned a lot there, and we all came away going, this is a really cool thing. And yeah. It's a really cool thing to have on the North Shore. It provides an experience that people need to have.
Sure, sure. Because not everybody can get into the water, you know,
exactly.
Into the boat, into
exactly.
the lake or something.
And these ponds had nice grassy open space around them. So it was real easy. You could roll a wheelchair right up to the water. You could let 5-year-olds run around and be able to see them, be able to watch what they're doing. There was camping there. There was a couple cabins. Really a nice operation.
So whereabouts is that in relation
to? It's immediately across the border.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Yeah. It would be on the, as you're going towards Thunder Bay, it'd be on the left side of the highway. Yep. It must be within 2 miles of the border.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Sure. Well, now, I want to remind our listeners we're visiting with Sean Parrish, editor of Northern Wilds Media, here right here in Grand Marais. Now, as part of, is it Highway 61 or Northern Wilds, you've got, what do you call it, an adventure?
We've got our Northern Wilds Adventure Awards.
Okay.
And that's just something new that we've started this summer. It's a contest, actually. And what we're asking people to do is you can go to our website, www.northernwilds.com, and you can log in there and then fill out a survey. And you don't have to fill out every line on the survey because you might not know every line. But we want to know what your favorite park is, what your favorite hiking trail is, what's your favorite fishing hole. And that's one we're pretty sure not everyone's going to fill out.
You're not expecting a real big response on that, other
on
than
that particular question.
Other than Lake X.
Lake X, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people fish Lake X.
Lake X or Lake Superior, which really narrows it down, you know. So, but anyways, we've got about a dozen questions like that, and they're all open-ended. And we're offering prizes. We're working with a lot of our advertisers to develop a list of prizes. The grand prize right now is $500 in class credits to the North House Folk School here in Grand Marais. So we're pretty proud of that.
Yeah, and, very cool. That's super. Now, when will the
contest,
is it up already?
It's up already, and it runs through September 30th. That allows readers of both of our summer issues a full opportunity to be able to enter the contest while those papers are out on the street and whatnot. And then we'll select the winners then. After September 30th and announce them in a later issue.
So basically some type of physical attraction.
Physical attractions, yeah.
Like Bucks. Bucks Hardware could be.
We tried to avoid that sort of physical attraction just because it would lead us down a path that...
You didn't want to go down.
Yeah, right, because then we hear from people like Buck, why wasn't I number one, you know?
Why don't we nominate Bob's new dimpled racing suit for bicycling?
Oh, okay.
Brand new.
Got to get off of this dimple business. Well, I was just going to ask you, okay, and I'm coming at this right off the top of my head, but I thought it might be kind of interesting. Just spur of the moment, what would be your favorite, and is this in Cook County?
No, this is...
anywhere.
No, Northern Wilds covers from Duluth to Terrace Bay, Ontario.
Okay.
So the entire North Shore.
Okay, what would be your favorite physical attraction?
Fuck. Boy, that's a tough one.
It is very, because I was thinking about what would be mine.
I would say maybe, Sleeping Giant Park is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
You know, because it has so many things you can do there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whether you want to fish or kayak or canoe or hike or climb quite high and have big scenic overlooks, or there's a lot of things there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a really good choice. Along those lines, one of our tour stops was Ouimette Canyon Provincial Park, which is not far away from there. Mm-hmm. And if you've never been there, it is definitely worth the 5-minute walk to the overlook of the canyon, because you just don't expect to see a canyon that size in this part of the world.
Boy, it would be tough. And the one that jumps to mind for me immediately is the overlook view of the Susies. You know,
that's another good one.
To me, is just spectacular every time I go that way, but it's hard to narrow it down. Well, that'll be kind of fun.
Yeah,
and
and there's some obvious ones. Split Rock Lighthouse for sure will be for a lot of people.
Oh,
the aerial bridge in Duluth, you know, the harbor in Grand Marais,
or certain campsite at a campground or whatever.
Yeah, I think we have that question too. What's your favorite campground?
Yeah.
What's your favorite canoe route? So we've tried to cover as many bases as we could.
Sounds good. Now the I don't remember if it was last winter, you had a Reader's Choice contest on restaurants
right
up here. As you mentioned, it was very, very successful. And through the rumor mill, I heard that you got another Reader's Choice Award.
Well, the
contest going?
The other one would be this.
Oh, the adventure one.
Award.
I see.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So we're already talking about it.
But we're hoping that we were really surprised with how successful the restaurant awards one was. And it was amazing how many entries we got, because it was in the wintertime, and we had over 300 entries.
Oh, great.
And wow. It was all over the map. It was
really interesting to see the results of it, you know, where there were just a lot of different
places,
choices.
Yeah, there was a lot of choices, and it just kind of drives home, which I tell people a lot when they're up here visiting, when I have friends up and whatnot, not a lot of places you can go to that have the choices of restaurants that we have here, well, especially in Grand Marais, but on the North Shore in general.
Yeah.
And that was another thing that we heard in Thunder Bay is their restaurant scene is really expanding right now, and lots of stuff going on up there as well.
And I've always felt that they have an interesting mix of restaurants up there, a lot of great ethnic restaurants.
A lot of ethnic neighborhoods up there.
Yes, there are. Yep.
Yeah.
That
reminds me of the Duluth I grew up in.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because the ethnic neighborhoods still exist. I was kind of at the tail end of that. But
now, have you been out in the woods lately picking up any ticks?
You know, this is kind of interesting. I've been out in the woods a fair amount, and I have two dogs, so I'm running my dogs all the time. I have not picked up a tick this year.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I think I'm alone in that.
Well, yeah, I've heard reports of some places where people just got loaded. But last Saturday, I was in the woods with my dog. She had none, and I had one tick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not...
And it's probably now getting towards the end of the bad tick season.
Yeah, you know,
it's starting
so.
To warm up a little bit, and that usually knocks them back.
Yeah.
I've had them every time I've gone running.
Have
at
you?
At least one.
Is that right?
Usually just one, but yesterday was three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you'd stick to the trail.
Well, one of them I found last night, I was just reaching up to touch my ear, and there he was behind my ear.
You thought it was a dimple.
Yeah, I thought it was a dimple on my ear.
Have you had any of the deer ticks?
I have not, and I've never not had a tick that actually attached itself yet.
Okay.
I did.
Okay. Oh, you did. That's
right.
Yeah,
and it kind of got big and red there, but no big deal.
I've heard from people who... have suffered from some of the tick diseases, and it's now some of the tick diseases. It's by no means just Lyme disease. If you know you've been bit by a tick, and if you start feeling well within 10 days or so afterwards, go to the doctor and tell them you've been bit by a tick. I think here they're pretty good about starting you on antibiotics. Mm-hmm. That's not true everywhere. Mm-hmm. Demand that they start you on antibiotics while they test your blood. Because I've talked to a couple of people. I did a story last summer. People I know pretty well that have had their lives changed in a big way and
really?
Not for the better.
No kidding.
Just from slow diagnosis of the disease.
Huh.
I'm curious about one thing in Thunder Bay and the development that they're doing on their waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big deterring factors in the past is that industrial railroad track goes right through between the main road that runs up
right.
on that side and the water. And I believe they went a bridge over that to go to
right.
the new development. Are they planning to do the same in any other parts, develop any other parts of that waterfront?
They have, it was many, many miles of waterfront available to them for development.
Oh.
I think it was like 30 miles. That they
wow.
can that they have some potential with, but they are looking. They're starting with this Prince Arthur Landing project, but they're also looking. They've got a deep water area that would be to the west of where they're doing the development now that they can land cruise ships, and that's another thing that we learned is that cruise ships. It's a coming market. There's been a one that's been operating. It's not operating this summer on Lake Superior, but within the next 3, 4, 5 years, we're going to start to see cruise ships operations on the Great Lakes.
Hmm.
And they're finding that it can be done here and successfully. So we're going to see that as a developing emerging market.
Probably won't see them in the Grand Marais Harbor.
We've had one before.
Well, we did have that one. Big, but the one that can land on the shore.
And I think that's the kind you'll see is smaller cruise ships. You know, you won't
right.
see the love boat coming into, you know.
The love boat.
Interesting if it did. But,
Queen Elizabeth or whatever it is, yeah. Well, Sean, I want to thank you. We've been visiting with Sean Parrish, who, of course, is the editor of Northern Wilds Media. And I want to thank you very much for taking some time on a Friday evening to chat with us.
I want to thank you for calling me on the phone and reminding me to take the time.
It happens once in a while. We're all getting older, and you're not the first guest that has kind of
gotten older.
Phone call.
Not the only one. So, but seriously, thanks so much for joining
us. Sure, it's always fun.